Let's hope that it goes public right away instead of private. All right, we're on episode 14. We'll also go over the daytime Emmy winners as well.
Oh, good. Yeah, I watched that. You may hear my cat meowing. It's coming near me. Whiskers may be live on our podcast tonight. Hello. Because otherwise he'd be scratching on the door. Oh, looks like we're on YouTube.
Well, if I see the chat box pop up, I know we're public.
Well, I can look it up too. Oh, it's like we're on YouTube.
Nope, it's set to private. Son of a bitch. Okay, let's stop it.
No.
I don't know why it does that.
You gotta maybe check the settings on
Chat
it.
box pop
Maybe
up.
it's a default setting or something.
No, it's I because it defaults to public, and I don't change it. I just literally add the title. All right. Try again. Episode 14.
Whiskers, it's not enough that I lay with you every night. Testing, testing.
All right, so again, if I see the chat pop up, then I know where. There we go. Chat is there, posting to Twitter or to X, and we're good to go.
Testing, testing.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome
Right,
to
so
episode
again, if I see the
14
chat
of
pop up,
Sud
then I
and the
know what.
Squared Circle, Sud's News. My name is Vinny. Christy is back with us this week after a
I'm
1 week
back.
hiatus. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling much better today than I was a week ago. I was not feeling so great last week, so I missed last week. Sorry, but I'm here to gush about Chaylin because that was the big last week and I missed it. So thank you, Matt, for filling in. I appreciate you, and I will share all of my thoughts, including
All
about the Twitter drama that
right.
apparently took place when I was sleeping all weekend.
Well, that's usually how it happens. The fact that the drama on soap Twitter or soap X happens when you're sleeping. But either way, if you are in the chat room is open. If you are watching live, thank you. Hit the like button, subscribe, get notified. David, welcome. Welcome to the chat room.
David, that's my friend. Hi, David. He always teases me
My
about my
co-host on
crush.
K2 Radio. So,
Yeah, that's right.
we had a good episode last week on K2 Radio. I was all over the place last week as last Monday I was on K2 Radio. And then the Sunday night beforehand, I did go ahead and also guest on the Ring the Bell radio show. So, I've been all over the place. That actually should be coming out
Ah,
relatively
there
soon.
you go.
Why does it look like we're not streaming?
I'm gonna make a SpongeBob reference. You're bringing it around town. That's what you're doing.
Yes,
Oh,
I am. But either way, first of all, I want to go ahead and congratulate all the winners of the Daytime Emmys this past Friday night. Matt and Kat from the 10th floor were there on the red carpet. So they did post some of the stuff on their YouTube page. I'm going to go watch it later on. And I'm not sure if James Love Jr. made it or not. I didn't see anything from James. But if you listen to his General Hospital mini spotlight, he did say that they did go ahead and give him one pass, basically him having to do the camera himself without somebody else. I don't know if he ever got that rectified or not. But either way, we're happy that the Daytime Emmys were back this past Friday on CBS and Paramount Plus. We're going to go over those winners in just a little bit. But first, before we bury the lead, last week Matt and I talked about something that happened on X, the drama with Chase in Brooklyn Real name's Josh Swickard, and of course I'm drawing a blank now.
Amanda
Seton.
Amanda Seton.
Where they came out and said that they're not comfortable doing love scenes. So we gave our Matt and I gave our opinions. We were both of the same opinion that, you know what, you can't force somebody to do what they don't want to do. And as long as the powers that be approve or accept that there's really nothing that can be done. But there was backlash saying that they should be fired. There's, you know, it's soaps, any love in the afternoon, blah, 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 blah. But it all comes now. I just found this out just 5 minutes ago that it's because of the question that Christy asked in that ill-fated Zoom. Christy, I'll let you explain yourself at this point.
Quote Taylor Swift, "Hi, it's me. I'm the problem. It's me." All right. Sorry. I just always have to quote that because I feel like I'm the anti-hero when it comes to Twitter. I always feel like I'm the problem. That's why I'm not on Twitter that much. So I was sleeping all weekend and then this blew up and I'm like, wait a minute. This article came out 3 weeks ago or four. It's been 4 weeks now. And I'm like, I tweeted about this. Like, people who follow me should know. So I'm outing myself, yes. I asked the question, but this is the thing. Like, I asked it in the most polite and sweetest way possible. If you were there on the Zoom, then you know. I had no idea that a soap hub was going to be there and write an article about it, and it was going to blow up and be this whole thing and bring on so much hate directed towards Josh and Amanda. Like, if I knew that, like, I wouldn't have asked it. But at the same time, I asked it because I was genuinely curious if Chase and Brooklyn are going to get another love scene. Again, I asked it in a polite and sweet way. And even Josh was like, wow, you asked that in the sweetest way possible. But of course, that wasn't in the article. So it's not like gospel truth, right? Because it's not out there. Like anything that's like on soap Twitter, like people act like it's the gospel truth. And it's like, okay, like this is what's going on. So I don't know, like, who brought up that article in some kind of soap Twitter argument, because, like, I didn't even bring it up. Like, I haven't been on Twitter that much. And so it blew up on Twitter, like, 3 weeks after the article came out. And I'm like, what is going on here? Like, it's crazy how people take one thing, one article, one question that was asked, which the actors were class acts about answering, okay? I gave them the option. I prefaced that question. I said, look, if this question is too personal, you do not have to answer it. And I was not, you know, like rude about it or anything. And people who know me know my heart behind the question. It's not like I was asking that to be rude toward Josh and Amanda or anything like that. So I just want to clear the air there about that. They were very nice about it. They did not have to answer the question, but they did answer the question, and somehow somebody in the room was writing for SoapHub. I didn't know that this was allowed, that you could write an article based off like a Zoom event that you paid for, but apparently you can, and put it out there that Josh and Amanda have chosen not to do love scenes. And just to set the facts straight, that is their right, and I totally respect that. I'm not out here going, oh, they should have a bunch of sex scenes on GH. How dare they? Blah, blah, blah. No. I would like to set the narrative straight. So if that is the narrative that people want to put out there about me, fine, but you're wrong. Like, yes, of course, I would love to have another love scene. Is it going to happen? Probably not in the way that I would maybe have liked it to. But that is okay, because I respect Josh and Amanda and their choice to not do that on screen, because they are both, I think they are both married and have significant others, and they have chosen for them that that's a boundary that they don't want to cross on screen. And I've seen this with other actors, whether it's for religious reasons or not, and please don't hate on them for that anyway. I mean, if it's not for a religious reason, even if it's for a personal reason, like, you shouldn't hate on the actors for that reason. And you should definitely not be like, oh yeah, so-and-so should get fired because I'm not going to get a love scene with them and they don't want to do a love scene. Like, that's going too far. Just no. So I hated seeing all of that on Twitter. Like, I really hated seeing all of that. And I'm praying to God that Josh Swickard was not on Twitter for like 2 days where it was like a huge big to do about it, because I still flabbergasted that article had been out for 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden it became the topic of soap Twitter conversation for the day or days it was. So I'm just like,
so, amazed. Yeah, no, I completely understand. And I completely agree with you. You know, it's one of those things where, again, an actor has a right to decline to do something. Now, if the powers that be at GH were not happy with it or didn't approve of it, then the action would have been taken to, you know, get rid of them or whatever. But apparently Valentini's mm-hmm. approved of it, so it's a moot point. It doesn't matter what the vocal minority on X says.
Right.
David says that he was at that Zoom chat also, and that you were a good girl. And the reporter left out something in that article. So, as always, reporters, the dirt sheets, as a use a wrestling term, you know, the peripheral soap opera media, all they care about is the clicks. It's all about clickbait. That's what it boils down to. But that's not the only thing, you know, but that's what I was going to say. I'm kind of, you know, as everybody knows, I am a huge wrestling fan. That's why it's such in the squared circle. Back in the late 90s, 1996, actually, right about the time that Scott Hall and Kevin Nash left WWF to go to WCW and start the NWO, there was an angle between Razor Ramon, Scott Hall's character, and Goldust. And Goldust being the being very ahead of his time, but he was an androgynous character, very sexual based. You know, a lot of people thought he was, you know, a homosexual character, but he was androgynous. And we're not going to split hairs over that. But he did refuse to go through with an angle where Goldust would have been extra sexual with him. As a matter of fact, Razor Ramon was supposed to face Goldust at WrestleMania 12. However, you know, he went to Vince and said, listen, I don't feel comfortable with this kind of an angle. My son's in school. He's going to, you know, I'm on national TV. He's going to get a lot of bullying because of it. I just don't feel comfortable doing it. So, I mean, it didn't really work out for Scott Hall because he ended up getting suspended not too long after because of whether or not you want to believe it's a bogus, you know, drug suspension. Drug test, and then he ended up, you know, that's why Roddy Piper faced Goldust at WrestleMania 12, but it all worked out for Scott Hall going to WCW after that. But they all, you know, even in wrestling and acting in general, they all have their choice. You know, like Vince McMahon has said, you know, he will never ask someone to do something he won't himself do. And, you know, it comes back to the fact that, you know, Josh and Amanda have chosen not to do love scenes, so that's all there is to it. Let's respect their decisions and move on. However, I want to get your take on something. That's not the only controversy that was going on last week. Another thing Matt and I talked about was the hate that Jophiel Love, not the actor, I shouldn't say, the hate that Violet Finn was getting for her singing on last Friday's episode, and her actions and how they're writing her. It was a big thing. There's a lot of people who can't stand the character of Violet Finn. And I want to get your take on that.
Okay, so the consensus on X is that people have an issue with the way her character is being written, not necessarily the actress.
Yes.
Okay, yes. I mean, I'll say I am often mildly annoyed by Violet because she's a very over-eccentric, like, kind of busybody. She busybody kind of like character. How do I put this in the best way? Like, she's almost like, I feel like her and Amy, the gossip nurse, have some things in common. Like, she kind of wants to be in everybody's business. She kind of wants to know what's going on. She kind of wants to, like, make suggestions. But it comes from a place of, like, childhood innocence.
Yep.
So, like, I definitely don't hate on the actress. By the way, she was super adorable running up to the Emmy stage that I saw that on, what was it, Friday night? I'm like, that was so adorable. She was like the first one up there. It was so cute. But she's an adorable little actress, and she has a gift of singing, which I think is equally adorable. And actually, I thought that song was actually really good.
I thought so too.
For a lady of her age. Like, I'm like, okay, sure, I'll be like the next Taylor Swift. That's like, okay. Like, it was very cute. So I don't understand why you're going to hate on this. Like, it's more to do with the writing. And I don't know why it has to be such like a controversy and an uproar over like a child actress just doing her thing. Like, she's doing what's written on the page, right? Just like every other actor on GH. So
here's the other thing that I question is, fine. Molly was the same way as a young girl. Now, she didn't necessarily, I don't think she ever sang or anything. However, she was also this very overly romantic young girl. Now, yes. Was that 8 years old, like Violet's character? No, I don't think so. I don't think I was watching back when Molly was that young. However, Molly in general, like at 12 or 13 years old, you know, set up dates with Jason and Sam and, you know, got them to get together and this and that, and just was very romantic. So, you know, it's the writing, I get it, but honestly, I thought that everything that Violet has been doing is age appropriate for that kind, you know, for that age. And mm-hmm. I'm sorry, but I don't understand the hate behind it. There was somebody I saw, I didn't watch today's episode yet, but I did see somebody post, get all these kids off of the show. You need kids on the show. You need the next generation. No. Because you can't just have somebody that 2 years old and then automatically come back at 16 and get involved in the teen scene for summer and so on and so forth. You need to actually show these characters as parents and rearing up. Now, granted, Michael and Willow and that whole family is just gets on your nerves. However, at the same time, you know, Wiley is a Corinthos and a Quartermain. And, you know, a Reeves, so to speak, you know, if, you know, because Willow is, you know, Nina's daughter. So he's involved in all of that. And the same thing with Amelia. We don't see Amelia. We don't see the babies. You know, that's why we haven't seen, you know, Bailey Lou either. We don't actually see the babies, but we see James. We see Georgie, who herself is going to be chip off the old block. You know, we see Wiley, we see Violet.
Yeah. No, we need the kids. But I will say, out of all of the kids, yes, is Violet probably the most annoying to me? Yes. But I don't blame the actress for that. I blame the writers. Like, again, it's a whole, like, real versus real thing. Like, it, like, just put it in perspective.
Yeah.
Like, she's very, like, innocent, and she doesn't understand the way the world works, right? Because she even went so far as to be like, to Finn, oh, so are you and Liz going to get married? And I'm like, please don't answer that question. Please do not answer that question. And thankfully, they, you know, were distracted her with something else. So I was very grateful for that, because I was like, oh my gosh, no. Don't start like trying to get everyone married. Let's not do that. Let's, especially Finn and Liz, please. No. So I mean, I hate to say it, but yes, I do find her the most annoying out of all of the kids. Cause some of the other kids, they're really cute. Like Sunny's daughter with Avery, Donna. Oh my gosh. She is so super, super adorable. Not to say the other kids aren't adorable, okay? I'm not trying to, like, cast any shade or anything. They're all adorable. They're all cute. Mm-hmm. But I just find her less annoying than Violet.
Okay? No, I understand. I can't say one way or another if Violet is annoying or not. I don't find her annoying. I find her a little precocious at times.
Overly precocious at times.
I don't want to necessarily go to annoying because that's just not how I watch things. David says Molly was adorable doing karaoke with Morgan. And, you know, yeah, they grew up together. You know, they were in the same age group. All right. Before we get into General Hospital, first of all, we do want to congratulate General Hospital, best soap opera, outstanding daytime drama series. General Hospital won at the Daytime Emmys on this past Friday. The outstanding daytime talk series was the Kelly Clarkson Show. However, she wasn't even there to accept her Emmy. Outstanding entertainment news series was Entertainment Tonight, although I don't understand how that's considered daytime. However, this is what everybody's been waiting for. Outstanding lead performance in a daytime drama series. Actress was Jacqueline McInnes Wood as Steffi Forrester from Bold. Outstanding lead performance in a daytime drama series for actor. Thorsten K is Rich Forrester, and I got to tell you, I'm Bold as well. And I got to tell you, after watching these past couple weeks of Bold, he's probably got it in the bag for next year as well. Outstanding supporting performance in a daytime drama series for actress. Sonia Eddy, posthumous. I think that was the only, I would say, you know, that was probably the only way it could have gone.
Yeah, I'm glad it went that way. I was so thrilled. I was so happy because that is a great way to honor her and the work she's Absolutely. Done on the show. So I'm so happy.
Oh, I am too. Outstanding supporting performance in a daytime drama series. This caused a little bit of controversy online. For actor, Robert Gossett is Marshall Ashford, a.k.a. Hat Daddy. There were actually some people that were upset that he won over some people like John Lindstrom and Nicholas Alexander Chavez. And
I can see that being a little bit of a little drama on Twitter, maybe for that one, a little upset because, yeah, I mean, those are all really good actors up against each other in that field. And I was kind of surprised that he won. But I mean, maybe it was specific storyline he had that like really made him stand out. I just don't know what he submitted, though.
I think it was the storyline with Epiphany and how he was pushing her on to get her doctors, you know, take the MCATs and go on to.
Right. That's why they showed that clip. Okay. Yeah. Well, in that case, then, well-deserved, because you helped Miss Sonia Eddy out, so.
Outstanding younger performer in a daytime drama series, Eden McCoy, is Jocelyn Jacks. Now, this category actually had a change this year. Reason being is that they actually grouped, and this is one of the things where there used to be, apparently, and this is from what I've heard, is that there used to be a separate category between like young adults and kids. I guess they changed it now where the age range is like something like 20 and younger, which is why Nicholas Alexander Chavez was not in the younger performer. He was in the supporting actor role. And then actually Wendy from Days of Our Lives, I don't know her real name off the top of my head. She actually dropped out of the running because she was against two, you know, like 8-year-old boys or 10-year-old boys from, you know, other shows, but Ian McCoy stayed in and she won. So I guess that caused a little bit of controversy.
I'm actually really happy.
I am too.
I'm happy with it personally. I mean, I have no problem with it. I think that was so well deserved. I mean, she had some really powerhouse performances in the last year. So
absolutely. But it's almost like not fair to put somebody her age up against kids who don't normally get that kind of a storyline.
Yeah. I mean, I can see why people would feel like maybe someone one of the kids, maybe it was an unfair playing field or something like that. I get what people say in that. Yeah. I mean, how are you going to beat Eden McCoy? I mean, I don't know. That's tough. Yeah, that's a tough one. But I mean, I'm still happy for Eden. I still think she deserved.
Absolutely. It must have brightened her day and brightened her year to win that, especially with the loss of her mother. Speaking of that, there is a temporary recast for Jocelyn this week. I know, according, from the sources, that today's episode, there was a temporary recast. I assume it's because of her mother passing away. I don't know for sure, but there is a recast. Outstanding guest performance in a daytime drama series. Allie Mills is Heather Weber. She did absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Even though the reveal of her being the hook killer was like a fart in church, she did fantastic as Heather.
Yeah, no, I was really happy with that win as well. I was really excited. I was watching the Emmys in my bed from my device, and every time someone won that I was excited about, I was like, yes, I was very excited. So yes, it was really well done. And I was excited to see her on GH because we all know her as the mom from like the Wonder Years. So it was really
exciting. I never watched the Wonder Years, so I couldn't relate.
Okay.
Yeah. Outstanding writing team for daytime drama series, Young and the Restless. Which I don't understand how you could have the writing team be different than the actual the series of the year. I would assume the writing has everything to go with it. But either way, the writing team did win for Young and the Restless. And then outstanding directing team for daytime drama, General Hospital. So congratulations to all of the winners of the Daytime Emmy Awards. Victoria Grace is Wendy from Days of Our Lives. Thank you, David, for filling that in. But yes, I do have to, I wasn't thrilled, especially with Allie Mills coming, or should I say, I was thrilled Allie Mills was fantastic as Heather. I didn't like the reveal of her as the hook killer, because I thought that was just too convenient, it was too easy to do it that way instead of somebody different, too predictable.
Yeah, it was a little bit predictable.
All right. So, again, thank you all for watching. Go ahead and hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, and get notified every time we go live here at Suds. And I also want to remind everybody, this is actually the first that Christy's hearing about it. Starting after the first of the year, I will be having a new show, Bold and the Beautiful for Beginners, or B&B for Beginners, with a friend of mine. Her name is Emily. She's been watching Bold for a number of years, and she'll be joining me on that podcast after the first of the year. That one will not be live. She does work as in retail, so her schedule is as hectic as mine used to be. So we'll be recording that one weekly and releasing it on a podcast feed, and on YouTube as well. But that will be starting after the first of the year.
Her name is Emily?
Yes.
Well, God bless Emily and all the retail workers out there, especially this Christmas season, because I am sure it is hell for you every time you go to work. It is not easy, especially with people complaining about self-check, because it's taking over everywhere.
Yes, exactly. However, before we get into Port Charles news and General Hospital, I've got to put out a rant about something. For anybody who doesn't know, if you have Xfinity Internet, most tiers of Xfinity Internet, you get Peacock for free, Peacock Premium, where you get all the WWE stuff, you get everything. However, it's ad-supported, and you have to watch ads. I don't like ads. So for ever since WWE went to Peacock, I've been paying for the Premium Plus of Peacock on my own, $11.99 a month, so I don't have to worry about ads. However, this past week, I decided, you know what? I could save myself $6 a month, and I'll I'll accept the Xfinity and I'll go with the Peacock Premium and then just upgrade to the Plus and pay $6 a month. Let me tell you something. They make it so dang difficult to upgrade to Peacock Premium Plus, ad-free version, through because you go ahead and you accept it, you put an email address that you have your Peacock account under. And when you go to your Peacock app to upgrade, they say you have to, because your billing is managed by Xfinity, you have to go through Xfinity to upgrade. Go
That
on
sounds like a
the
lot
app,
of red tape.
go on the Xfinity app, go on the website, and they don't have anywhere to upgrade to Peacock Premium Plus. They tell you that you have to go through the Xfinity Flex box, which is their streaming Roku box or whatever. Well, I have an Xbox Series S and a Roku. I don't need another box, so I never got the Xfinity Flex when I signed up for the internet. So after being on the phone with Xfinity for an hour, I said, "You know what? Send me out the Xfinity Flex box." Oh, well, we're discontinuing the Flex starting in January. We're gonna have a new box. It's gonna be the Xfinity Xumo box, XUMO, and I'm like, okay, whatever, send that to me. I get that on Saturday. So between a Christmas party at my gym in the morning and my niece's first birthday party, I'm at home setting up the Xumo box. And I go ahead and get it in. I sign into Twitter, sign into Peacock on that box. I follow the directions that the app tells me to in order to upgrade to the Peacock Premium Plus. And I go ahead and go to my subscriptions on the Xumo box and nothing's listed. So I didn't have the time to call Xfinity at that point in time. So I had to wait till Sunday. And I was on the phone another hour with Xfinity and they're trying to get it, get the Xumo box activated on my account. And because it's a new kind of a box, I didn't know how it was going to be activated. And I'm like, all I want to do is add $6 more to my freaking bill, give you guys $6 more a month for ad-free shows, and you're making it so difficult. I'm telling you, it is absolutely a nightmare. I still don't have it because they said they were going to send me another Xumo box by Monday, or by today, I should say, 24 hours.
Another one.
Still hasn't
Jeez.
shown up. Still hasn't shown up. So I have to wait till tomorrow. And
That's too
Friday.
much work, man. Like, I would have gave up after my
Well,
gosh.
I said if it.
They should have given you a discount for like all the time you spend on the phone. Like a discount to your bill.
I
My
said at this
gosh.
point, I'm ready to say, you know what? Cancel the Peacock promotion. I'll go back to paying the $11.99 myself, and just so that I can have ad free and not go through all this frustration. But it's a piece of it's just so difficult now because now I have an Xbox Series S, which has all my streaming apps on it. I have a Roku, which has all my streaming apps on it. And now this Xfinity Xumo box, which has all my streaming apps on it. I don't need all three boxes. I'm
Yeah,
like,
that's too much, man.
yeah.
That's just a lot. That's a lot. That's something you start to talk. I'm like, oh no, this is gonna be like a big runaround, lots of red tape to jump through.
Oh, it's a
That's
pain.
annoying. Like I've heard this with like major competitors in the cable internet space
Yep.
that it's such a pain. Here in the Southeast area, we have Cox, which is the major competitor that go through for internet and cable. And I just stopped with cable altogether. Like in 2000, I think
Yeah.
it was 2015 or 2016. I'm like, I'm done. I just want internet. That's all I need. I don't need cable anymore. I have like a digital antenna that'll
Yeah.
pick up the channels, and that's all I need. So if I need to watch General Hospital during the day, I just do it through that.
Yeah, and I mean I have all the streaming services. Like I get Hulu and Disney Plus and Discover or Hulu and Disney Plus through Verizon because that's who my cell phone service is. So, I take advantage where I can, but this Xfinity thing for Peacock is just such a pain in the ass. All right.
Yeah.
Now that we've been talking about for a half hour already, haven't gotten into any of what happened last week in Port Charles. Why don't we get there? All right. So first thing, they are, as far as I see, you know, Tracy being back in Port Charles now. And she was kind of shocked that Ned is back, and taken by surprise. And the first scene that they have together, she walks in, he's strumming the guitar. It's like, oh, great. Eddie is still here. And I thought that was hilarious.
What a great assumption, Tracy. A little faith. How you did not know that. Like, is she the last to know that he's back? Like, yeah. I was like, she's just finding out now?
Well, she was in Amsterdam.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Because I was like, okay, so she would probably be the last to know that Ned is back and it's not Eddie Main anymore.
Yeah. But you know, it's still good. It's going to be good. I know that they're starting the process to kind of write Bobby Spencer out, you know, with Tracy coming back, and that's kind of the impetus for addressing Jacqueline Zeman's passing, and yes, the memorial for Bobby. And you know, it's so messed up that during the daytime Emmys they did the in memoriam segment, and Jacqueline Zeman was not listed. From what I was told. Apparently during the in memoriam.
No, when I watched, she was up there
Okay,
I remember watching that whole thing, that whole performance with the in memoriam with Jennifer Nettles singing, and I remember seeing Jacqueline Zeman in there.
Hey Nathan, welcome to the show. How are you today? Okay,
tripping.
I
don't know.
I read it on Facebook, so
I don't, if somebody missed it, because I'm telling you, she was in there. Like, I remember seeing her in there, because I would have watched that and myself and been like, hey, where's Jacqueline Zeman? No, I saw her in there. But, you know, it's kind of like if you look away for a few seconds, you know, then you might have missed it. So,
okay, so she was listed. I take that back. I trusted a source from Facebook, so that's on me. But they did do a really touching tribute to Tyler Christopher as
they
well.
Did.
And I really felt that was good.
All right. Mentioned him.
So yeah, so they're going to be, you know, with Tracy back, they're going to be starting the process to get to Jacqueline's or Bobby's memorial to write her out of the show. But you know, I guess Luke really is dead. You know, I just, that's almost something that you don't think about when you see somebody like Eric on Bold and the Beautiful and John McCook going through his health challenges now, you know, somebody who's an icon in the industry and especially a legacy character, you know, like Luke Spencer, you don't actually think about them dying off screen. But, you know, he's living his life out in Amsterdam, and I guess he just doesn't want to come back.
Oh, you mean the actor? Yeah, I guess he's put his GH days behind him, but it's kind of sad because to see Tracy like mourning on the plane, like that was sad. That was sad, but she played it so well.
Oh
so,
yeah, of course.
It's sad, but I'm just like, a part of me is still like, you know, wouldn't that be the Luke Spencer thing to do, is fake his own death?
Yeah.
Something like that.
I think he's done it a time or two already.
Yeah.
However, we did see Monica back this last week and talking to Dr. Finn and, you know, about his malpractice case. And, you know, I brought it up to Matt last week. There's just no emotional connection, in my opinion, with this malpractice storyline. We never, because, and the reason why I say that is we never saw Finn treating the patient. We never saw the patient coming in for any kind of, you know, any kind of appointment. We never saw anything about this guy. And then all of a sudden he's, you know, saying that Finn, you know, his family is suing Finn for malpractice. and you know, Diane is representing the family. You know, there's just no emotional connection, in my opinion, to this storyline. And I know you have your reservations about Finn because of the whole Finn and Liz story. However,
it's not just that. I just find Finn an annoying character. I just don't care for him that much. I liked it when he was John McBain.
I agree.
Like, you know,
that was the best character he's ever played, in my opinion. But it's just, there's just no emotional connection to it, to this for me. You know, yes, we saw that, you know, Monica said that they're backing Finn, and General Hospital is going to, you know, back Finn, that there was no negligence in his diagnosis or anything. So that was good. And we saw Monica there for that. But again, there's just nothing there. Like, this storyline, in my opinion, is just filler.
And it's, my thing is, like, if GH is going to back him up, and, like, the only one who has an issue with it is that lawyer, I guess, for GH. And then Finn's going to, like, it's all going to, like, get resolved, I guess, in a settlement out of court. Like, what was the point of
exactly.
all that then? Is that for us to have sympathy for Finn? Because I didn't have any sympathy for him to begin with, and this didn't make it a difference. I just, sorry, like, it just didn't do anything for me. It just seemed like a kind of waste of time. I guess it's just to give maybe Finn and Liz maybe a little bit of a conflict or obstacle, maybe because they're a little on the boring side. I don't know. I mean, I mean, to me, the makeout in the shower wasn't really it for me. So that wasn't exciting. That was like, shield my eyes. I can't believe this is actually happening right now. So I don't know. Yeah, I feel very just, wow. What a waste. Sorry. What a waste of time. I mean, great. I mean, Liz was being his, like, cheerleader through all of that, too, and was like, well, we're going to figure out how to make you look more caring or whatever, because he doesn't come across, like, I guess his bedside manner, it needs some work, and seem that caring of a doctor or something. I'm sure he did everything right by the book and whatever. Like, I think it would be more interesting if he did make a big mistake, and if this really, like, these claims did have some validity to it, like, oh yeah, he really did make a mistake, and how is he gonna, like, overcome this? Then I think maybe it'd been a little bit more, like, interesting or dramatic. But to me, I was just kind of like, so, like,
I wouldn't mind seeing the court scenes of Martin and Diane going against each other in court. That would be something to watch.
Yeah, that's more interesting than Finn being on trial right there. Those two going at it.
But to have Diane, you know, asking Finn questions, and you could already tell that Finn does have that God complex. Finn is almost like a more boring version of Patrick Drake. And because, I mean, Patrick Drake came in with that God complex. You know, most doctors have egos like that.
Okay. If you're going to compare Dr. Patrick Drake, who, by the way, was one of my favorite characters of all time. Okay. What a hottie. That man had swagger. Okay. Finn does not have swagger at all.
That's true. Yes. I will agree with you on that. Dr. Hamilton Finn does not have any kind of charisma.
No, there's no charisma. There's no charisma at all. He's just like a fly on the wall to me. I'm sorry. Like, no, you can't compare the two, because I will pick Dr. Patrick Drake every single time. I would love to see him back on. I wish he would come with, you know, Robin.
Yeah.
For like a minute, for like Christmas or Thanksgiving, something, you know, just to see Anna, because Anna's going through a lot. So it'd be great to see them.
Yep.
There to support her. But yeah, I understand why that's probably not going to happen. Cause you know, we have Dr. Patrick Drake, who's really on YNR now.
Yeah.
And, gosh, I've met him and I'm linking his name Jason right Thompson. Now. Jason Thompson, thank you. So Jason's, you know, rocking it on Y&R. So I understand why, you know, he's not going to probably come back to GH. Although they can't, I don't know. Some actors, they let on two different soaps at a time. I don't know. Wally Kurth does it. I don't know how he
does. Well, he's also on recurring status for both. He doesn't want to
sign. Yeah, that's the difference.
It's probably. It's the same thing with Greg Rucker, who's on Days as Leo and also on Y&R as, I think his name is Kevin, although he hasn't been on too much. He was on around Thanksgiving. But yeah, I mean, they both do double duty, but they're also recurring. They don't have contracts. Jason Thompson is under contract to Y&R as Billy Abbott.
And reroute my thing, because you sent me down a rabbit hole. Once you said Dr. Patrick Drake, I was like, oh man, I miss those days.
What I was kind of referring to was when Alexis was kind of grilling Finn and getting him prepped for what Diane would do, and he made the sarcastic comments, you know, on the stand, and how Diane would get him caught up, and how a jury would not have sympathy for this doctor who's, you know, making tons of money and, you know, has a history of, you know, substance abuse and, you know, could potentially have made a wrong decision because, you know, he was playing God or overlooked something. That was kind of like where I was going with that.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. Patrick Drake, though, with a God complex, was way sexier than Finn. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to compare the two, but it's just the truth to me. And it's my truth. That's my opinion. I mean, it's just... It's just the way he did it, even though he was like arrogant about it, and he wasn't arrogant about it, but it was just like, you didn't care. he did it with such swagger. He had that swagger. He had that charismatic playboy attitude that you just didn't care that he was kind of an arrogant asshole at times. You didn't care. You didn't care. Anyway. Let's go back to the next thing we're going to talk about.
We
could have a whole Dr. Patrick Drake appreciation hour here.
Let's move on. Moving on, Diane and Robert. How do you feel about Diane and Robert together as a couple?
I'm still bored by them, and I'm worried that she's going to get her heart broken. But she did ask him some very great questions.
Yes, she did.
About, like, okay, what about Anna? What about Holly? Like, please explain. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Poor girl's like sleeping with him now. And just, I don't know.
They kind of defined their relationship this week, and they did go and they had a good conversation, and she basically put it out there and said, listen, I don't want to be played for a fool. So, you know, and he did say, he's like, you know, I'm always going to be close to Anna because we share a daughter, you know, but you're my priority now. So he kind of put it out there, and let's just see if he lives to it. I like them together. I like their snarky kind of flirtation. You know, Diana's fantastic no matter what. Carolyn Hennessy is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it's a different dynamic seeing her with Robert, because we were so used to her being with Max, you know, and, you know, she's always the hyper horny, you know, sexual, you know, business in the streets, but, you know, freaky in the sheets. And as we Max was, you know, one of Sonny's bodyguards. So he was like that straight-laced, you know, no-nonsense.
That's like a Diane's slogan, business in the streets and freaky in the sheets. Is that what we're going to put that on a bumper sticker or something?
Like, I think we're going to put it on a t-shirt.
That's something. Wow. Okay, listeners, you gotta let us know if you agree with that. That's interesting. I really like that.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna put it on future. It'll be too late to get here for Christmas, but maybe for New Year's.
Wow. Well, that's one way to describe Diane. I don't know if she described herself that way. Maybe she would. But I mean, in a way, I'm happy for her because I love Diane.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yes, I do miss. I'm nostalgic for the time that I started watching GH, which was the mid-2000s.
Yep.
And I'm very nostalgic for that. So when I think of like the great love of Diane's life, it would be Max.
Yeah.
I think nobody else really comes close for me. So we'll see. Time will tell if Robert will live up to what he said and if he really, you know, focuses on her and is not getting distracted by other women in his life. So we'll see. I don't want to see her get her heart broken. And if she does, I hope she slaps him silly next way to Sunday. Just saying.
I agree. All right. So we finally have the official word that Christina is going to be Molly's surrogate. It kind of took a going around the elbow to get to the hand kind of way. But we got there 4 Molly's later, second Christina. And I said it before, I think it was just because A, they didn't know about Molly. I guess this new Molly that's there now is going to be the permanent Molly. And I think that, you know, Kate Manzi is a more mature version of Christina. Nothing against Lexi Ainsworth, who is huge, fantastic, but
yeah,
I think Kate has that more of a maturity level to her. She's still like a bull in a china shop at times, but she's a little bit more mature of a character, you know, mature looking, let me put it that way. You know, and I do like the romance with Blaze, and, you know, them sharing a couple of kisses and kind of being like, yeah, I think you're cool. Blaze coming over with a bottle of wine to celebrate. And, you know, I thought it was really, really good. I don't at this point think that Blaze is Lila Ray Alcazar. I think that ship has sailed.
Yeah. Yeah, they revealed that because Christina asked her full name. And I was like, well, if she is Lila Ray Alcazar, she doesn't know it. And she's been given another different name. So.
Right. But now people are saying that she might be related to Felicia, because Felicia has family in Texas. And I guess family with the last name. I think she said her name was Hernandez. If I'm not mistaken. But yeah, people are thinking that she's related to Felicia now. So we'll see. I think the problem is too many people think about a lot of stuff and don't just, they want to hear themselves talk or see themselves tweet.
Or they're just quick to like want to have a new character tied into like a core family, you know?
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, we'll find out when we find out.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's, I'm sure it'll get there. I think they're going to have Blaze on for quite a while, especially with the Christina Blaze situation, or if you want to call it, you know, Blaze, like the, or craze, as you call them, and their couple. And I mean, at first I was like, I don't know about this. Like, you told me from the very first conversations they had that they were flirtatious. And I was like, what? I didn't see that. And then I was like, maybe, I don't know. I have really bad gaydar too. So it just didn't click for me. And then when she went to, that was my computer. I don't know if you heard that. When Blaze went to like the island, I was like, oh, maybe this is Christina dreaming that like Blaze showed up or something. Yeah. And I didn't, I, I, I thought maybe it wasn't real. And then it was like real, like she really showed up. And I was like, oh, they're definitely going to make them a thing because this is serious. You don't just show up at an island for a friend when your friend's on vacation. You wish your friend well, you see him in a few days, no problem. Mm-hmm. But for her to like go to the island to see Christina, I was like, oh, this is serious. This is happening.
So David says that Kate was brought on the show for this particular story because Kate has endometriosis herself. He also said that Patrick thought that he was God's gift to women. But so did Shawn Michaels. So
he did, but Patrick kind of was God's gift to women also.
All right. So Blaze's name is Allison Rogers Ramirez, not Hernandez. I apologize. So thank you for that information, David.
I love Patrick. I'm sorry. He's my favorite like Playboy character turned like, you know.
Although speaking of Patrick, I wonder with the Bobby storyline, I wonder if
he'll show up.
Noah Drake is gonna be coming back.
Oh,
because I believe they had a romance at one point in time. Am I mistaken on that?
Noah and
Bobby.
Is that correct? David might know.
Yeah.
In the chat.
The chat is my place for
I wouldn't know right that. Now. Yeah, I wouldn't know that history. Like I'm not as well versed in like anything before like 2006. I don't really know what happened. I mean, I know a little bit of what happened before then for certain people, certain couples like Jason and Elizabeth.
Yep.
You know, I know their stuff, front and back. I know it.
Oh yeah.
I know it. I live it. I breathe it.
from the Wikipedia page, which of course is not a scholarly source. Soon after Noah Drake arrives at General Hospital, he gains a reputation of being a playboy. He becomes involved with Bobby Spencer, but she realizes he is unable to commit to her. She fakes blindness in order to keep him by her side, but the lies can contribute to the end of their relationship. So they were
backstory
hooked together at one point in time. But yeah,
I don't think it was anything serious because I feel like whenever Noah was on screen, it was just like very short lived.
Yeah,
when he was on screen, from what I remember, like so, you know.
All right, so yeah, let's move on to something else here. Well, you were not here last week, so you did not get a chance to react to Chase and Brooklyn getting engaged. So go ahead and gush over Chaylin. And how did you react when they finally did get engaged?
Oh, my favorite couple. Okay, so if y'all didn't see, you should check my Twitter feed for media because I recorded some videos of my reaction. The one video I didn't record, which I wish I had, but I was at my boss's house when this happened. So y'all, like, I can't record videos while my boss is in the other room. That's weird. I was so excited. I think that the part where I really, really like flipped out was when Chase was already calling Brooklyn his wife, when he's like, well, I can tell people that the day that I got hit over the head with a bottle was the day I met my wife. And I was fangirling so hard at that moment in time. Josh did excellent with that. I think the only thing that's held me on, honestly, by a thread with this couple, because the writing and the pacing has just been so like,
yeah,
up and down, and I was just so tired of like the waiting. But the only way they pull me right back in with Chase and Brooklyn is that chemistry that Josh and Amanda have. And that has literally kept them alive for me. So thank you, Josh and Amanda, for your hard work, because love scenes or no love scenes, like, you pull me back in every single time. It is so good. So I was so excited because I didn't know whether or not like he was proposing to, just because, you know, like the family was talking, yep. The grandma was talking about it. And that's what I knew Brooklyn was going to be like, well, you're just proposing because my family's like teasing you about it, blah, blah, blah. And I knew she was going to do that. And I'm glad that he showed that he was serious, because when he pulled out that ring, I was like, oh, he's freaking serious. He's been planning this. I didn't expect it to maybe happen this year. Maybe I did. Maybe I was kind of hoping maybe around Christmas, but I didn't expect it to like happen, because I've just kind of like stopped wishing for things to happen for them, right. Because the pacing is just so bad that I'm just like, eh, stuff happens when it happens. So now I'm like pleasantly surprised and freaking out when it does happen, because it takes so long for them to happen. And then like one person in my mentions, which I didn't respond to because I'm just like, that's a waste of time, is like, oh, it happened too fast. And I'm like, too fast? Are you kidding me? It happened too slow. like the pacing has been so off with them that I would have like, man, this stuff would have been like churning out like real quick. Like yeah. if it was up to me, they would have had their second kiss much faster. They would have, you know, been a couple way faster. They would have made love way faster. Like it just, things would have been on a different timetable, but it's GH's timetable, and it's, they've got a bloated cast and they've got like all this other stuff going on. And it's just Chase and Brooklyn took a back burner so many freaking weeks. Yeah. I mean, there were so many weeks where we didn't see them at all, or we'd see them once a week, maybe once every 2 weeks. And I was like, I don't know if it's ever going to happen for them, because it's just taking forever.
So I have a feeling that their marriage, their wedding will probably end up being February sweeps, and David kind of concurs with that.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's fine.
And they're kind of getting it done quickly because of Gregory, and you know, wanting Gregory to be there.
Oh, right. So. But yeah, let's get them married. Let's stop popping out those babies. No, I'm just kidding. They can wait on the babies. I'm not in a rush to have the babies, but they will have beautiful children. And I want them to be like an end game couple, like Olivia and Ned. So let's just make it like a long term situation. Yeah. No more like breaking up and getting back together. I don't want none of that stuff. Just keep it like my happy place on GH. Everyone else can be in chaos. Just keep Chase and Brooklyn to my happy place.
So, by the way, I do want to bring up, and David, thank you for bringing it up in the chat. On Thursday, January 4th, 10 p.m., there's going to, on ABC, there's going to be a GH primetime special celebrating 60 years of General Hospital. And he believes Rick Springfield will be a part of that, which I would assume he would be as well. But that's going to be fantastic. But how do you fit all that into, you know, 1 hour? You know, 60 years of history and everything. But either way, stay tuned for that. For wrestling fans, everybody knows January 4th is the annual Wrestle Kingdom for New Japan. That usually happens, you know, that's obviously on Japanese time, so it happens like 3 o'clock in the morning our time. But yes, 10 p.m. Eastern time on ABC is going to be the GH 60th anniversary primetime special Thursday, January 4th. Stay tuned for that on ABC. All right, so another couple that I'm very impressed with is, although I kind of hope it moves a little quicker myself, is Cody and Sasha. I like that Cody is kind of like, take your time, I'm here, you know, I'm not put out by waiting, I know you need your time and space. And Sasha's like, I don't want you to wait for me, I'm still mourning Liam and Brando. You know, we can be friends, we can work together, but, you know, and I get that. I really feel like, you know, they're doing such a good job trying to build Sasha back up after all the hurt that she's gone through, that, you know, I want to see Cody and Sasha be the end game. We saw on Thanksgiving where Leo kind of put them on the spot and said something about to Cody about his girlfriend. Although they didn't necessarily.
Oh gosh, yeah.
That I mean, was an awkward conversation.
They're making it very overly obvious with the kid, with Leo, and other people like going, "Oh, you two look like you're a couple. You're together." Like,
right.
Like they're making it so overly obvious that that is the direction that they're going. So yeah. If you don't care for Cody and Sasha, sorry, you're just gonna have to put up with it. That's the direction they're going. I mean, I like it. It's a little bit more likable to me with Sasha. I can tell that he's not. I think they finally learned their lesson with Cody, and it's like, okay, we have to get him off this like gold digger kick because it's coming off very unattractive. And it was. So I'm glad they stopped that and that he actually sound like, I mean, is he working technically for the Quartermains? I mean, he's living there with like horses. I don't know. I don't even know where the dude sleeps in a bed of manure. I mean, I hope not, but I'm sorry. I'm making bad jokes. But yeah, I mean, back to like, I had to look this up just now because I was like, okay, how long has Brando been like gone?
It's over a year at this point.
September of 2022 looks like September 13th of 2022. I see a clip of like, looks like that's the clip of when he gets stabbed or hooked with by the hook. So it's been over a year, so it's time. That's usually, you know, a year later, they give the widow a chance to grieve for like a year, and then they go, okay, now we can bury you with somebody else.
But of course, Sasha did have a lot of hurdles in her grieving because of, you know, Montague and Gladys and, you know, all of her problems that she had on Home and Heart originally. So she's had a lot of stuff put in the way of her grieving process that reminded her of Liam and Brando. You know, it's been 2 years now that Liam, you know, was stillborn or passed away after birth. You know, it's been over a year now for Brando, but you can't. One thing that I like how they're writing it is that you can't predict how long it's going to take somebody to be to grieve. You can't predict how long it's going to take anybody to grieve, especially a you know, a spouse, a child, etc.
I mean, that when I said like, oh, okay, it's time for the widow to have another love interest, I was just saying that in terms of like soap opera.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I'm not saying that in terms of like reality, because obviously it's different. The grieving timetable is different for everybody.
Yeah.
Because some people lose their spouse and they go out with it. That was the love of my life. I don't want to be involved with anybody else. That's it. But I don't think that's where Sasha's at. I think she really does like, like Cody. And she doesn't really know how much she can promise him. Like, maybe she doesn't feel like she has anything to offer him.
Yeah.
In terms of a relationship. And she feels very much like, I've given all I've had to give to somebody else. I don't know if I have anything to give to somebody else. Like, I think she's thinking in terms of that. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe, like, just like, what else can I give you? And like, she probably doesn't feel like emotionally she can give part of herself, because her heart is still like healing.
Yeah.
And she wants to make sure she's completely healed emotionally before she can step forward with Cody in that way. So it would be nice, of course, you know, to see them together. But obviously, you know, they're blatantly hinting at that on screen. Yep. So I'm sure in the new year, maybe around Valentine's Day, they'll share a kiss. Finally, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's coming. It's coming.
All right. So I know that we haven't gone over absolutely everything, but one thing I want to say is, Anna is getting on my nerves. She has been for a while.
Oh, my.
And has nothing to do with Finola Hughes. Finola Hughes is a fantastic actor. I'm not going to say anything bad about her. But the character of Anna is getting on my nerves. First of all, we see Dante, who holds on to the key. They find out that the WSB comes in and steals the body of Forsythe. And, you know, they take all of the paperwork, they make everything confidential, Dante's shut out, but he still has the key that was found in the guy's shoe. So this week he goes to the locker that it opened, which, in my opinion, didn't look like any kind of train station locker. I don't know where the hell the locker was. But Dante kind of scoped it out for a little bit, you know, and then he goes, he gets whatever's in there, just takes it with him, and then goes right to the bank and gets a safe deposit box so that whoever may also be looking for that information can't find it. However, he decides to keep the wallet with him, and then brings it home to Sam, and Sam examines the wallet. My thing is, in my opinion, I think Anna is over exaggerating her power or maybe power is not the right word, but she's over exaggerating actually what kind of position she's in. She's not a cop. She's no longer a WSB agent. So she's a civilian. Why does she think that, why does she think that she has any ability to be involved in this investigation?
Yeah, see, that's a tough one. But I think Anna fans would, obviously argue for her.
Right.
I think it's because she has all of this, like, insider, like, info and background knowledge that she feels like could be helpful to the investigation. That's the only logical reason I can come up with, but I don't know all of, like, the WSB Anna's history. Like, I'm not, like, that huge of an Anna fan to know right. all of that. So you would have to talk to an Anna fan who, like, knows their stuff.
Right.
I don't know all the stuff when it comes to Anna. Like, I know more of its stuff than I do Anna stuff. So yeah, but that's the only thing I can come up with. And I honestly, like, I'm not super annoyed with Anna. I honestly feel for her because I think she's, like, really kind of, maybe she's just trying to make amends for shooting Charlotte in some way, and she feels horrific about that. Like, that I can tell. That's very apparent when Fanola.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
So I think she's a whole bag of emotions. And the fact that this wasn't last week, the week before, I think. She was, like, in bed. Was it on Thanksgiving, maybe?
Yes. Yep.
She was on bed and Robert knocked on the door and said, "Hey, like, you should get up and do stuff." And then Emma came, and I thought that was really great because
I did too.
I'm the kind of person that if I'm depressed, I will be in bed all day. And if you don't get me out of bed, I will be in bed and I will sleep forever and ever and ever and get out of bed when I feel like it, which is probably going to be like 2 or 3 days later. Like, that's just me. So I think everybody needs a person in their life, like Robert, who's going to, like, pull you out of your depression, your funk.
Yeah.
In your bed. So I'm, like, happy that, honestly, that scene happened. And that Anna has someone like that in her life, because I think Robert's just kind of like her best friend. Kind of like her, I guess. I don't know if you want to call them soulmates, but I don't know. I don't know if you want to give that. I don't know if I want to put that label on it, because I don't really know all of their history. I know they have a long history, but I don't know. I don't know all the ins of that to really put that label on it. I don't know. It's probably a point of opinion. Depends on your point of view. But for me, I don't really want to give Anna a lot of flack. I think she's really genuinely trying to help the investigation. I don't see it as necessarily a bad thing. And I think she knows to some degree, like, what she's really talking about with the whole Forsyth thing and the
I get that.
WSB thing. I think she really does. She's really genuinely trying to help the investigation. But of course, it's for, like, personal reasons too.
But so, I just feel like she's kind of overstepping her boundaries, in my opinion. Like, she's got all these notes from the WSB, I get that, and she has all this history and everything, but to want to internalize everything and kind of keep Dante out of it. Dante is a cop. Dante is working on this case, trying to figure out who shot at Anna and Sonny. You know, we know it was a WSB issued rifle. You know, and it's gonna come out, you know, we know now who Pikeman is. Miss, you know, the Australian guy that's been in Kelly's and flirting with
Carly. Hitting on Carly left and right now.
Mr. Brennan, yeah. And you know, we know that he is the head of the WSB as well, who took over for Frisco, which made me pose the question of how is this security bureau, which is the most powerful crime fighting force in the world, always prone to somebody taking over that has nefarious ideas and, you know, has less than ideal, you know,
I don't know.
Plans, you know, because we know the
ulterior motives, I guess.
Yeah, ulterior motives. Thank you. Because we know that Victor Considine was head of WSB for a while. And, you know, now Mr. Brennan, who's also head of Pikeman. You know, so, and he wants to have Anna and Sonny out of the way. So now Dante's on it. It's going to come to a head because Curtis is searching for the same thing. You know, and I like to see Curtis as a PI. I did run a poll on X, you know, last week. If you had to have somebody, if you had to hire a PI team, who would you hire out of the three that I know of in soaps? Black Patch from Days, Jackal and McCall, Spinelli and Sam, or Curtis and Sam. And by far, Jackal and McCall were the winners. And I find that fun too. But I like Curtis as a PI. And I'm wondering now, because there's an experimental surgery that he could go through that potentially could get him back to walking. We know that, you know, it's always a possibility that somebody who's not specifically paralyzed could regain their ability to walk. You know, and it's happened to somebody like Lex Luger, who did not have a severed spine. He suffered a massive stroke and you know, he was in a wheelchair. He's still in a wheelchair, but he can walk somewhat with a cane now. You know, with Curtis, I want to see him get his you know, walking, his ability to walk back. I want to see him find out who shot him, you know. So this is all going to come to a head. And I don't know when, hopefully relatively soon, but this is going to be another umbrella storyline, kind of like Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I don't think they're going to keep Curtis in a wheelchair forever, because that's already irritating people, I think. So I think, you know, that will eventually come to an end. Eventually there'll be something, yeah. And he'll get some surgery or something, and he'll be back to where he was, maybe after some physical therapy too. Like, I don't know why they did stop the physical therapy sessions. Seeing that, maybe seeing him make some progress. Like, I'm sure there's some progress being made. Just not seeing it on screen. Because Curtis is not happy being in a wheelchair. People who actually like Curtis are not happy he's in a wheelchair. Me, I'm kind of indifferent. You know, I'm sure I'm not a big Curtis fan, but I'm sure he'll get back on his feet and things will go back to regular scheduled programming with that. So it's a temporary thing. You just know that. I think if you've been watching soaps a while, you just kind of know the ebbs and flows of things and know, okay, they're just going to be handicapped for a while. That's going to be over, and then he'll get some surgery, you know. And like some storylines, you know, they make it look like the person's going to die, but they're really not going to die. Yep. Like looked like she was dying for like a year.
Yeah.
God, that was god.
That was horrific. That was
god awful.
That was like watching pink dry.
That was just, I mean, how many times are you gonna have this girl cry? Like
well, geez. I got to the point where I was like, you know, just let Willow die. Just kill her.
Yes. I know. That's how I was too. And I felt bad because nothing wrong with the actress. It's right. just the writing of the storyline for that was just so horrific, and they were pacing it so yeah. slow that I was like, you really gonna have this girl act like she's dying for a year and seem like she doesn't care about her life? Like, what in the actual exactly. hell? Like, she's got a family. She's got a husband and a son. Like, I don't understand why she's not, like, giving it everything she has to, like, stay alive. Like, she's way too young to just be like, oh, okay, I'll die. Yeah. like, what is going on here? So, I mean, yeah. So, with Curtis, he'll get back to, you know, being a PI and being more active in the club.
Yep.
What is that club? I forgot what that name of that club is.
The Savoy.
The Savoy, yes, the Savoy. So, you know, like, I would like to see some more, let's say, more music acts come through there. So let's get a Blaze performance.
Well, then, maybe we Maybe we could see Adam perform.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't get me started on that guy.
Trina and Josh saw him playing the guitar and, you know, and...
No, that's more of an open mic night situation. I don't know if that's like a fun, serious performance thing. Like, let me do a mic night on my night off from studying, like 24/7. Like, he says he's studying like all the time. Like something's seriously wrong with that guy. I don't think it's just the parent pressure. I think it's the drugs he's on. Like, I think something's seriously off.
Yeah, they need with that guy. Some kind of a mental health storyline with that. But
yeah.
You wouldn't believe the amount of hate that Adam, that the character got for playing the guitar. People, you know, saying, oh, you're not Cam. You know, Adam's not Cam.
Oh my gosh. Be
Cam. It's like, come on, people.
No, we're not going to make comparisons here to that. That's too, no. Just no. Just glad that he has another layer to him, that he's right, doing exactly. something other than, oh my God, I got to study and get like a 99% or better on my test. Like,
right, exactly. Yep.
Like, I'm sick of hearing. So that was actually refreshing. Like, oh, this guy does something other than say he's got to study
yep.
and be right around the corner whenever Jocelyn comes home from, you know, having sex with Dex or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, like, what? Like, I'm glad to see that he does something other than say he's studying or he's taking pills at his desk or whatever. Like, I'm glad there's something, another layer to him. You know, I don't think we should be making, you know, comparisons like on it. That doesn't go anywhere good. That's just a waste of energy to me to do that.
All right. Well, I think we've covered just about everything. I mean, Sonny and Nina, you know, I could care less right now at this point.
Snooze button. Sorry.
Was that? Yeah.
Snooze button.
I agree. I did like seeing Scotty and Liesl at the beginning of the week. Liesl coming back. Kind of, they had their closure. And then Scotty right away is like, hey, Lucy, I have to go down to Florida to see Serena. Why don't you come with me? You know, Scotty is a perpetual playboy.
I guess. It's fine with me. I don't really care. What's really intriguing to me more so is the whole Carly and Pikeman situation.
Yeah.
Like he's like heavily flirting with her. So I'm sure he has an ulterior motive of getting involved with Carly.
He's going to try to get to Sonny through Carly.
Yeah. So, I think Carly's smarter than that, is going to pick up on.
Of course.
Pick up on it soon.
And it'll test her loyalty to Drew as well. Drew.
Yeah, because I was like, wait a minute, doesn't this guy know she's taken? Like,
well, she had a boyfriend when he came in with flowers. So, you know, but he doesn't seem like he's the kind of person to take no for an answer. Carly's not the kind of person to take no for an answer either. And we've seen that. You know, so it really depends on how far this is going to go. I did like how she was with, who was she with? Donna in the park. And, you know, he came up to her and they had, was it ice cream or hot chocolate? I'm sorry.
Hot chocolate, yeah.
Together. And you know, it's like he's trying to get close to Carly and close to Sonny's daughter.
He's really trying to win those brownie points.
He is, absolutely.
It's an interesting development because I was like, why does this guy keep coming into
a lot?
Kelly's like this when he came in once or twice. I was like, okay, so this is gonna be a thing.
Yep,
this is definitely gonna be a thing because he keeps coming in for food. And why is it that Carly seems like she's the only waitress slash like manager right now at Kelly's? Like, there's no other. Nobody else is working anymore.
Every so often we see Jocelyn with the apron on, or we see the part-time waitress that's there. But yeah, it seems like Carly's working open to close pretty much every day.
That's what it seems like. I'm like, man, I hope you got some other staff.
All right. So I think that's pretty much about it. You know, we'll see how everything plays out with Pikeman over this week. Now, just a couple of quick programming notes. Next week, we are not going to be live on Monday night at 10 because it will be Christmas night. So for those of you that celebrate, Merry Christmas. For those of you who don't, Happy Holidays either way. We will be recording Friday night. It will not be live, but we will release it on Monday. So it'll still come out on Monday at 10 on both YouTube and the podcast, but we'll be pre-recording it, so it will not be live. Mm-hmm. And we haven't discussed anything for New Year's yet, so we'll see how that goes. And we'll kind of keep you posted. Stay tuned to our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. Again, if you're watching, thank you for watching. Go ahead and hit that like button, subscribe, get notified. Go to our website, sudsandsquaredcircle.com. There's also a link tree that connects you to all of our socials, whether it's X or Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or anywhere else. We do not have an OnlyFans, so I will put that out there. But either way, go ahead and enjoy your holiday season. Enjoy the Christmas season. As an Italian, I can tell you that Christmas Eve is my favorite night of the year. Definitely the seafood feast, the Feast of the Seven Fish, is my favorite night of the year. But either way, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays to all of you out there. And enjoy your holiday season. Christy, do you have any closing words as we move past our holiday?
Well, I'm assuming we're getting to the grateful minute.
Oh, yes, absolutely. We are getting to the Thanksgiving.
I want you to forget that. Yeah. I celebrate Christmas, so yes. But to those of you who don't celebrate Christmas, happy holidays, whichever holiday you celebrate, including Hanukkah. I know I have a few friends out there who celebrate Hanukkah, and I wanted to be Jewish when I was a kid so I could have a big party and the presents and the eight nights of presents at Christmas time, but purely for material reasons. But I did not convert to Judaism now. But I wanted to be for all the presents. I mean, they get all these cool presents. So that's fun.
All right. So I will go ahead and I know you've been talking about being the stuff you're thankful for a while.
Yeah.
But I'll go ahead and start the timer now. 1 minute on the clock. Go ahead.
So if you haven't noticed, my sound is a lot crispier and nicer because I have this nice Yeti mic that I'm speaking into from my boss. So shout out to my boss, who's the best boss ever, who got me my own Yeti mic. So now I feel like I can be a real professional. I love it. So excited about that. Grateful for that. Let's see. Grateful to my spiritual mama. Yes, she does my laundry. It's amazing. I love her so much for that. Just grateful. I'm feeling better this week. I take it day by day, but feeling better today, at least. And I don't know. You know, I'm always grateful for my cats. I laid next to my cat Whiskers last night. Like he was my man. I was like, I feel like I have a husband right now. Anyway, that's it. Kind of a joke slash side note. That's my thankful
minute. Well, thank you for that. That was the minute, and I'll go ahead and do mine now. I am thankful for my family. I'm thankful for the people who come in and watch the show. And Nathan, thank you for saying this is a great show, and see you next time. But I'm thankful for being able to provide a good Christmas for my family. Our family has been doing the past couple of years. Basically, we draw names out of a hat, and whoever you get, you spend $100 on them. However, I just love giving. My favorite thing in life in around the Christmas season is giving. So I can't stick to just one, you know, just one person. Like, I've gotten things for everybody in my family. And, you know, I got my Christmas shopping done early, and, wow, you know, did what I had to do. And, you know, now it's focusing on cooking for Christmas Eve. I love the fish. I love the seafood. I love, you know, everything to do with family. So that's what I'm thankful for this year and today. But for those of you, again, that join us, thank you for joining us. Again, go ahead, click the like button. If you're listening on the podcast app, go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. As well, visit sudsandsquarecircle.com for all the news and notes regarding Suds in the Square Circle. More to come next year, getting more up and running for next year. And we'll see y'all. Remember, next week it'll be pre-recorded, but we'll still be posted at 10 p.m. on Monday night. So for Christy, I'm Vinny. Have a great week, everybody. And thank you for watching Suds News.
Thank you. Everybody. Good night.
All right. Live stream has stopped.